Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Pray this prayer with me. Say, Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, come and change me. Holy Spirit, come and renew me. Holy Spirit, come and take hold of my life. Holy Spirit, change me now and forever. I give you my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. Take hold of my life. It's yours to use. I surrender to you. Stay with me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Pray this prayer just one more time. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, stay with me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, stay in this evening. Yes, Lord. As I minister the word, Father, come and rest on your words as a witness, Father, in this night. I pray that people will be changed and touched. In Jesus' name, as you stay with us. Father, we worship you, we praise you, we lift up the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. I pray in this night, as you rest of us, as the Spirit of the Lord is here, the change will come as Jesus is here. Pray with me, say, Lord Jesus, let my heart be open to receive your word, to receive the call that you've placed upon me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome to be seated. Let's just keep the Holy Spirit with us. He's here. He's here to set you free. He's here to heal you. He's here to restore you. Holy Spirit is a person. He's not he's not a dove. He's not the oil. Those are just symbols. The Holy Spirit is a person. He comes like He wants to manifest Himself. And our responsibility is to follow His leading. Amen. And so, last week He had a war expression. Tonight He has His dove expression. And that's just how the Word of the Lord works. He does how He wants. Our job is to follow Him. Amen. And so as I just say hello to everybody online, hey guys, I hope everybody's well. And I want to share to you tonight about giants and God's payroll. Giants and God's payroll. And I want to lay hands tonight and anoint you and impart you. And that's what I felt the Lord say. And so, you know, this morning I needed to hold back the power of God because, you know, for that moment. But tonight I will let it flow. And I pray that everybody that's here, that you will not just have a touch, but that you will change. Because He doesn't want to touch us, He wants to change us. Amen. And so, giants on God's payroll. I want to speak to you. Who do you believe that you are called by God? Okay, that was like half of the class. So, who of you believe that you have been called by God? Let me ask again. Okay, so if you believe that you are called by God, then tonight's message is for you. This is a message that only for the called. And, you know, if you are called by God, then this is a word for you, for this hour, for this moment. And I just believe that God wants to speak to you. So in Psalm 105 verse number 18, the Bible says this. It's the story about Joseph. The word of the Lord says this: they bruised his feet of shackles and placed his neck on irons. Verse number 19, until his prediction came true and the word of the Lord proved him right. The king sent and released him, and the rulers, the people, set him free. What I want you to understand is that when God calls you, like with Joseph here, which the Bible here speaks about, whenever God calls a man, calls a woman, he will always test the call, or he'll test the word on the person until the time that the test is passed, and then the word of the Lord gets released in full manifestation. So what I want you to get tonight is this: Jesus is absolutely the way maker. He is absolutely the one that goes ahead of you. He is the one that will promise you the moon and the stars and the sky. And these are all things that Jesus will do, that he will, let me say it like this: Jesus will promise you that you're going to take the promised land. He will say to you, he's going to protect you as you go. He will say to you, he'll provide for you as you go. But one thing that Jesus will not do, he will not go for you. Gonna say that again. And you have to understand why I'm speaking about giants on God's payroll. It's because God promised the Israelites the Canaan. He promised them the promised land. And many times when a man and a woman are called, God will promise you things, and the promise is for you to say yes. But God does not give you the detail of your call. He just wants you to go. And I want you to understand something about the Israelites here tonight, and it's simply this: is that God had giants in the promised land on his payroll. And you can say, what do you mean? Well, very simple. In the promised land, while the giants were there, the Amalekites were there, the Hittites were there, when they were there, these giants were experts in dealing with the wildlife of Canaan. In other words, there was another enemy that was in the promised land, that was the wildlife. And an actual fact that it is absolutely accurate and true, you can go and study this, that if God would have removed the giants out of the way, the Israelites would have faced an enemy that they've never seen. But the Jews knew giants because they had a king that will fight one a couple of years later on. And so the giants were not an unseen or unheard of enemy for them. Oh, come on, please. I want you on the edge of your seats tonight. Okay? I want you to understand that God won't make you move, but what he will definitely do, as the Bible says, Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 30, the Bible says, little by little, I drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. In other words, of every true call comes resistance. Resistance are not there to say that it's not true what he has said. Resistance are there to prove that you are improving. It's like exercise, for an example. If you're not hurting, you're not doing it right. Are you guys with me? And so it's many times so in life, and we have to understand that when God calls you, he won't fill in the details. Because he promises going with us, he's promising he is going to make the way. He promises us he'll protect us. He promises us he provide for us, but he will not make us move. Are you there? And so little by little, here's the key of the call of God upon your life. Little by little, you'll grow in the Lord until you're ready to advance into the promised land. And so anything that happens quick is not of God. Little by little, God will advance you to take the land. Can I have an amen for that? Yes. Listen, salvation is immediate, but freedom is a choice. Let me say that again. Salvation is immediate. Forgiveness is immediate, but freedom is a lifetime process. God will forgive you at the moment, but for the rest of your life, you're going to walk into how to learn to be in full freedom. Because many people are forgiven completely, yet they still walk stuck. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? Forgiveness is immediate, but freedom is a process. It's true what I'm saying. And as I was studying this, the Lord spoke to me out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 6, where the Bible says this: for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or what he heareth me to be, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it may depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glorify in my weakness, because the power of Christ rests in my weakness. Listen, I want you to understand, Paul first calls this thing a messenger from the devil. He says, I had a messenger from Satan. I had a thought. What I love about this piece of scripture is that Paul does not quantify nor clarify what the thorn is. And the reason why I believe that Paul doesn't clarify what his thorn is because most likely Christians would have made a theology of what this thorn was. So we can all relate, because all of us have a thorn. Okay, oh come on, I'm going to preach like to this side, maybe a little bit better tonight. Listen, Jesus will give you a thorn. All of us will have a deficit. And what Paul says, the first part of his life, he says, I had a thorn, I asked Christ to remove it. He says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is best stimulated or evident in your weakness. Then Paul shifts his heart, he shifts his mind, and he now says this. He says, now I boast in my thorn. Why? Because Paul became confident that the more of a lack he had, the more grace should have been supplied to him. Well, let me say this. The more you can't do it, the more reason there is for him to do it. If you can do it, why do we need him? Are you with me? And the problem with many of us is, unfortunately is so, is that we believe we are the assistants to the assignment. Can I say that again? We believe we are the assistants to the assignment. No, with every assignment comes divine assistance. And what we have to learn in life is we have to treasure the weakness. I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. I have brilliant people in this church. I've got doctors, I've got lawyers, I've got everything. And you know, but it doesn't mean that our strength means much without the Lord coming in onto the scene. As I was thinking about this, the Lord said this. He said, with the treasure comes the training. So first I will give you the treasure, then I'll train you how to walk with the treasure. Are you there? So listen, he will tell you like Joseph. And Joseph's mistake was this. He told everybody what he's going to do. He told his family, you're going to bow down to me. He told his family, you're going to worship me. And he was right. But that did not mean that God would not put Joseph through the test. That dream will cost him prison. Are you there? And he stayed there until the word of the Lord proved him to be true. Come on, do I have somebody with me? And only then he came out. Oh, come on. Let me throw this into the chat. Possession without process is illegal. Possession without process is illegal. To tell people the dream and not to go through with the dream is like dressing up in gym gear and not showing us that you can actually do it. Are you with me? Like in the beginning of the year, we have a lot of people that dress up, obviously very motivated for the new year. And then they tell us how good they are. It's like, for example, I ride bicycles, I like bike, I like running, I like to stay fit and exercised. And I have a person that lives close to me, and every now and again he'll tell me how good he is on a bike. Like he can cycle good. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. So we'll catch one another whenever. Now one thing is I'm fit. And so the one day I caught him, and he was, true story, he was dressed in South Africa clothes. He had South Africa gear on. And I thought to myself, okay, this is going to be interesting. And his bike was amazing. And I was looking at it. I was thinking, nice, I know the gear, so I know everything. This is a good bike. I thought to myself, today it's going to be nice. We're going to go far and fast. And we went for about 3-4 kilometers, and I started to excel and I started to get myself, and I got into my Every cyclist has got a rhythm. I know what works for my body, and my whole bike is exactly fitted to my shape. And I know how to ride it because I've been on it thousands and thousands of kilometers. And so as I gear down and I gain my optimum position and I started to press cycle out of my butt, that's the way you should cycle, by the way. I was reaching full power. My little thing was saying, listen, you're getting to 80% of your max capacities and your muscles. And so I was gaining. And then as I looked back, nobody. And so I turned around, I went back. It's like, hey, what happened? He's like, no, that's too fast. I'm like, but I said, no, how fast should we go? I said, I'll keep with you, so you go. So I first think to myself, you know, I'll be a shepherd, so let's be a pastor and let's just stay with the guy, the little lost sheep. And the guy goes so slow, I struggled to balance because I've got cleats on. And I was like, no, let's just leave this be. Say, bless you in the name of the Lord, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, cheers. And I left. Listen, it is not good enough to show up dressed up, telling people how big the promise is. Staying faithful to the call, it's going to cost you the process of faithfulness. And through the process of faithfulness, God will add to you over your lifetime. And then every day when you stand up, thank the Lord for your weakness. Because the more weakness you have, the more power He can supply. It's true. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you with me? And as I was reading on this, I loved it. The Bible says this, no man can take the burden of what God will put you through. Nobody. People will not understand that. You can try to explain it. They will not get it. You know, it's like telling a toddler, people will just not get what you're going to go through. And that is exactly right, because they're not called like you. Are you there? Are you with me? So the disciples, listen, this is what I learned. The disciples had a massive call upon their life. The call was the world. But they needed to learn that before they can take the world on, they had to wait. There was a process. The process was that the Holy Spirit needed to come. And without the Holy Spirit coming, there wasn't any world to gain. Oh, come on, can I have an amen or a something here? You have to understand tonight, to every call that He gives you, there's a process. Save me, process. Oh no, say it with authority, process. I want you to get this. The best way I can explain this to you is this, and this is what you have to understand tonight, is that the process that you'll work with in God is literally, as you walk with the Lord, you're going to feel like many times your life buffers. Buffering is when it feels like it's hanging. I don't know how saved you are. I'm not very saved when it comes to buffering, because anything that hangs, listen, by the way, this generation will never know the sound of internet dialing up. Yeah, we know that sound. The generation, my kids, they don't know anything about that sound. They just know 500 meg, top up to 5 gig, please. Then I'm like, dear Jesus, what do you do on your phones? But many times, you know what I'm calling about. Listen, and by the way, ladies, gentlemen, if you want to know how saved the person are that you're going to get saved, give them slow internet. True story. So, but many times it'll feel like your life call is buffering. It'll feel like stuff is not working. Not so. Because God proves that what is unseen first. And then when you're ready, He puts you onto the scene. He will anoint you to disappoint you, to put you in the wilderness until the opportune time. He takes David, He anoints David, he sends him back to the sheep. He tells David, go back to the sheep, and there he stays for a long time until he comes at an opportune time to bring cheese and bread for his brothers. And then there's a giant on the sea. But David, listen, David was anointed in secret. He was prepared in secret. He was exposed publicly. So what you go through behind the scenes will always be exposed by the Lord publicly. But if you fail the process behind the scenes and God puts you onto the scene, you're going to mess up His name. Are you there? So buffering is not nice, but it's necessary. And I have seen too many Christians, and this is why I'm preaching this. I've seen too many Christians that are in a hurry. They are in a hurry to prove that they have a call of God upon their lives. Listen, if there's a true call, you don't need to tell us. We'll see the fruit. We'll look at you and we'll say, apple tree. You will never ever find, listen, it's ridiculous, but think about it. You will never find an apple tree walking around saying to everybody, apple tree, apple tree. No, we will know you're an apple tree because you have apples. Are you there? You don't need to tell us you're a prophet. Just be accurate in what you say, and what you say must actually work. You don't need to tell us you're going to be a billionaire. Just show us that you actually are by giving and building the kingdom of God. Oh, come on, are you there? We have a very chatty generation, but they don't have a lot of fruit. If you believe, listen, if you believe that you can lift the weight, if you believe that you can lift the weight, what you'll experience is God's resistance and not His assistance. Because the same hand that must lift you is the same hand that will resist us. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord so that He may exalt you in due time. But if we are arrogant, He resists us. Oh, come on, say with me the word assistance. So you have to believe that you cannot lift the weight by yourself. You need assistance. Let me use an example. If I can use Jim as an example, it will help that you can understand what I'm saying. I can, if somebody tells me now, come and bench press or squat a certain weight. I wish I could demonstrate this, but I didn't feel like doing the prop tonight. So I can go a certain amount of time, but or a certain weight. But if I reach my max potential and I start to fail, I need assistance. So yeah, my gift makes room for me only up to a space. Then I need assistance. All of you that sit here, you have a gift. You are gifts. Everybody online, you have a gift. But your gift means nothing without true assistance. As I stand here, I can tell you what my gifts are. But my gifts means nothing if I don't understand these gifts only work with assistance. And yeah, sure, I can preach, and yeah, sure, I can draw a crowd. Yeah, sure, I can prophesy to you. I can tell you what to do at your house. I can preach to you. I can let you jump up and down. I can do all these things. I can survive certain things. I can go through certain things. But if I cannot brag in my weakness, then I don't understand grace. Because it's not us that quantifies us. It's His calling on us, His power through us, His life inside of us, His grace inside of me, His grace upon me, and His grace ahead of me that makes me me. Oh, come on. Oh, come on, give Jesus Christ a hand. Listen. Your perspective can say this is a massive giant, or your perspective can say this thing's head is so big it cannot be missed. It's all who you serve. You can have a perspective of saying this is a massive thing, I have a massive issue, or you can say you're too big to miss. Come on. And my question to you tonight is, you have to understand, God left the giants on His payroll to equip His people. Little by little, we'll take the land. He said, I'll provide for you. I'll give you protection. I will even go with you. But I will not go for you. You have to go yourself. In other words, listen, God cannot go for you. You must go for you. Then God has already gone in front of you Waymaker, absolutely. Promise keeper, absolutely. But it's not the one that will go. He will not make you move your feet. You have to choose to trust Him, and you need to jump. You see, the problem is, can I preach this at you for a moment? There's too much Peter in some of us. We're still pulling the sword on the Malchuses of life. What is Malchus? Malchus represents that what is against Jesus. Peter is trying to help Jesus out. Jesus is trying to get to the cross. And there's so many of us, we pull the sword, and there's nothing wrong with pulling the sword. I'm just saying that as we pull the sword at the wrong times, God will ultimately not do what He wants to do because we're messing up His program. So Peter pulls the sword. He's like, Jesus, get out of the way. I'm gonna stop Malchus. And he aims for the head. He gets an ear. And the Bible says Jesus needs to rebuke Peter. He needs to take Malchus's ear and put it back and heal him. He needs to fix Peter's mess before he can go to the cross. Otherwise, Peter would have been guilty of high treason. You have to know, listen, this is what the Lord said to me. This is so good. If you are like Abraham, there's two types of Abrahams inside of you. The first Abraham decides by himself. He decides, listen, I'm going to have my own son. And he does. That son's name is Ishmael. He has that son at the age of 40. But when God gets ready to give him a son, Abraham can no longer do it by himself. God waits until Abraham fails. And then He says, you're ready for the promise. But now, you are not going to do it by yourself. Because quite frankly, your body is useless. Now you have to trust in Me to give you the promise. It's true. And then the Bible says he trusts God and God gives him Isaac. Listen, have you ever thought it like this? Let me read it for you. If God gave Abraham the promise at 40 years, he would have thought that he could do it. But the promise came when he was 80, when he couldn't do it. God will most likely, I said it and I'll say it again. In Power Church, we have grown more in the last year than any other year. Okay? Any other year. But it's the same. If I take the 18 months that we have grown massively, and I'm not saying this just to say it, I'm just telling you my story. But in the same amount of time that we've gone through, you see, I can never preach with your authority if I don't tell you personally. Are you there? So we have seen massive growth. He promised me growth in 2013 already. So we have seen huge growth, but now we see, okay, huge growth, Lord. Suddenly, because before COVID came, we were just a mega church in Pretoria. We had a lot of people and we were happy because lots of people, happy church, happy Sundays, happy. Oh, come on, is there somebody that can relate? Just happy. Why? We don't need to do much. We have thousands of people coming. We have an awesome school. Life is good. Then suddenly in our own lives, you know, in my life, my mom goes to be of the Lord. COVID hits us. My dad goes to be of the Lord. My friend goes to be of the Lord. One of my, Pastor Eric's dad goes to be of the Lord. Some of our best people goes to be of the Lord. All of this happens in 18 months. And it's the same time that God increases us. God gives us a location in the Cape. He gives us a location in Secunda. He gives us a church in Witbank. He gives us a location in Durban. And currently, we are broadcasting to 28,000 people on a weekly basis in Africa. We've grown online with more than 800% people, and this church just keep on growing. But He never told me He's going to make us grow while we go through the hardest seasons of our lives. Come on. And so here's the point. I realized halfway through last year, if I don't boast in my weakness, then there's not going to be strength. But if I can be real about, I cannot do it without Him, He will pour His power upon me. And so assistance came flying in from everywhere when you and I give up and we give in. Oh, come on. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise of Him. Achenia, you guys clap hands like, you know, you clap like you're bored. No, clap like you actually want to clap. Amen? Come on. Just, I think sometimes, yeah, that's better. Please don't clap hands like some rustige kerk. Amen? We don't even dress rustig, so it's a belief. You know? Okay. The forgiveness, the call of God is immediate. But it's going to take you to say yes to that. What I have in my spirit tonight is this. Is that I believe that the Lord has set you up. And everybody that's online with me as well, I believe that. Because this is the thing that God does best. Is as soon as you say like Paul, I had a thorn. Then God says, no, it's not a thorn. It's a qualification. For what? For power. For grace. For sufficiency. It's a qualifier. But Lord, I have these issues. No, you don't. You have great potential. No, Lord, I have these massive problems. No, you don't. You have massive potential. For what? For me to show you that I'm God and you're not, and I'm going to make you sit down and I'm going to let all these issues sit around this table, and I will pour my cup of blessing upon you. I'll increase you in the midst of all of this stuff. If you trust me, if you stay faithful to me, because it's a God story. David, let me use David again as an example. David, he's with the sheep. That's why I tell the guys, don't just come to church, serve. Serve. Be a volunteer, serve. Put up your hand, register. We have got more volunteers this year than any other year. Go after church and go and sign up and say, here am I, use me. That's how I started, as a servant, as a volunteer. Everybody serves in this house, amen? So, David is looking after the sheep. Looking after the sheep, normal day. Normal day. Normal day. Looking after the sheep. God sends the prophet to his house. David doesn't even know the prophet is there. The prophet is there with an assignment. You are to anoint a king. The first boy comes, Eliab. The Bible says he's a good-looking young man. God says, no, it's not him. Then the Bible says that, so this the sons come of Jesse. Every single one of them come. Seven sons, seven no's. None of them qualify. And Samuel is confused because he's looking for the things that looks good on the outside. And God says, a king is to be in the house of Jesse. And Samuel is like, don't you have any other children? It's like, yeah, we have one. But we didn't think him worthy to be invited to this meeting. He's with the sheep. And so Samuel says, go and call him. We'll wait for him. We'll stand for him as he comes. And the Bible says, as David came walking in, this is what you have to understand. He sees a man that he's never seen before with a heifer's horn in his hand, full of oil. And while all the boys look right on the outside, as soon as David hits the entry place, God says, that's the one. And Samuel must have been thinking at that time, God, are you nuts? This guy is smelling like sheep. He's dirty. Should I anoint him now? Should I throw your anointing on that God says, that's the one, anoint him. And what I love about God is God doesn't wait for David to be perfect. God doesn't like want David to go and get dressed up. God doesn't want David to go and clean his face. God doesn't want David to even wash off the smell of sheep or the acts of service. God anoints David in front of his brothers. And here comes the oil. Seal the deal. And after he got anointed, he gets sent back to the sheep. But here's the point. When David walked from the sheep to the house, he never knew it's going to be the last time he's going to walk as a shepherd boy, because the next time he's going to walk, he's going to walk as a king. But he's training. Oh, you have to understand. His training happened in the field. He that delight himself in the Lord your God, God will lift you up. I tell you the truth. If you delight yourself in the Lord in private, God will put you onto public spaces. If you delight yourself in the Lord privately, because that's what ultimately gave David his victory, not just the anointing, his training. Because when he looked at Goliath, he said, I have fought the lion and the bear. Skills. And now I have the anointing. He actually says that. He says, I fought the lion and the bear. The giant will be like one of them for me. In other words, all of Israel is seeing this. Oh, come on. All of Israel is seeing this massive giant and they are terribly afraid. They are elevating the giant. David comes, he reduces the giant. He's like, I see him. He will be like one of the lions, one of the bears I fought. But then David discovered where his power is, and he makes it clear. He says, listen, you come against me with a sword and a spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts and whom you have defiled. In other words, what's going to make you lose your head? It's not me. It's going to make you lose your head. It's I've discovered your weakness. You're too arrogant. You don't have covenant. I have covenant and I'm weak. Listen, I just want to say this while I'm on this. Please don't glorify in fake humility. Glorify in true humility. What is true humility? True humility is knowing your strength, but not advocating it. Let me use an example. Jesus hangs on the cross. That's humility. He has the power to call 12 legions of angels to his assistance. That's how much power he's got. Michael, Gabriel, all of these boys, they are ready to come onto the scene. Can you imagine? The Son hangs, humility. The call never comes. Why? He had all the power, but he was not after the angels proving that he's king. He was after the stone that will be rolled away, the millions and millions of people that will get freedom through an open grave, and they will declare him to be king. Oh no, that's again like a golf club. Listen, you have to understand the reason why Jesus hanged with so much power and stability and humility is because there would be another people that will praise his name, you and I. That's the power of true humility. Not knowing that you are weak, but being able to say, like Paul said, even though I'm weak, yet I am strong. Even though I'm poor, yet I am rich. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? So how will you do this? Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 30. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. How? Little by little. Little by little, I'll give you the victory. Little by little, I'll give you the success. Little by little, you'll do it. Little by little. And eventually, you would have taken so much territory, you'll look back and say, how could this be? It's because you stayed faithful little bit by little bit. Come on. Am I talking to the right crowd? Guys that are on social media and all the media platforms, share the gospel. Get it out. Listen. If you believe you can lift the weight, you will experience God's resistance and not His assistance. If you and I believe we can do this by ourselves, no, we can't. This is a king story with weak people. Let me say it like this. Why did everybody want to know where Samson's strength lied? It's not because he looked like a bodybuilder. It's because nobody could figure it out. This guy looked normal, yet he has power. Where does it come from? Hello? But if you go through the Bible, right through the Bible, every great man and woman of God that was ever used by God, somewhere they discovered their weakness. And they started to brag about their weakness. And God started to demonstrate His power. You say, Moses? Moses, listen. Moses says, I can't talk, God. God says, that's okay, I'll give you Aaron. God says, how will they believe me? I don't have any power. God says, that's fine, I'll give you some. Abram says, if you're going to kill Isaac, how am I ever going to get to the promise? Well, do it and let's see. Abram has to give him everything because before God shows up. Think about it. Daniel doesn't look like a faithful God if you're with the lions. Yet God waits until Daniel comes into the lion's den before God shows him he's strong. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the fire. Where's God? These people were loyal. Think about it. Loyal servants, worshiping God. Where's Jesus? Thrown into the fire. Jesus shows up. Not late, but in the fire. To show them that He's stronger than the fire. Seems late. No, it's God. Come on, are you with me? Paul, one of the greatest apostles that have ever lived, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He gets into a storm. God makes him swim. God makes him build a fire. God makes him get bitten by snakes. God makes him do some crazy stuff. And then eventually God shows up in his life in extraordinary ways. Why? Called. If you are called, it's going to cost you. Oh, come on, I know this is, maybe I should have preached this another way. But I believe that no man can spare you the process. And one of the things I find a lot in leadership is this, is that many people will ask me, God, they will say, but spare I the process. No, nobody will spare you that. What do you mean? I mean, if we are really called, you're going to know the sting of betrayal. You're going to know the sting of offense. You're going to know the sting of unforgiveness. You're going to know the sting of loneliness. You're going to know the sting of paying and doing everything and people doing nothing. You're going to go through a lot of stuff. And the reason why you will go through it is because God wants to test you and prove you that He actually can use you. And when you come through, and I'll end of this, that's why he said to Peter, I'm not going to take you out of the shaking. Shaking is coming. I'm not going to remove you out of the shaking. You're going to go through it, but when you turn, strengthen your brothers. In other words, Peter, you're going to make this, but I'm not going to take you out of it. You see, so much of our prayer life is often based on what we want God to remove. Come on. Where we should actually be more focused on what He can use. Oh, come on. Are you with me? Okay, so let me throw this last one at you. I will go before you, says the Lord, but I will not go for you. You have to have faith to do this. And everything great that God will ever do in your life will cost you faith. Massive, huge faith. Let me tell you a testimony, Drew, before I'm going to pray for us and lay hands on you. Let me tell you a testimony. When God called me in 2004, I was finishing my law degree. And as he called me to come and serve my dad. That was the call. He didn't say anything else. He just said, come and serve. And as I started to serve, but when he said that to me, I'm going to just show you how God works. When he said that to me, before I was called, I liked to party a lot. Like, you know? And so we enjoyed ourselves. And so when God called me, I was involved in a relationship and had a lot of friends. Like a lot of friends. And God said to me, I want you to leave all of them. I want you to leave her. Come and follow me. I said, okay. And so I lived my dad, he bought us, I had a very nice, I'll never do that with my own children because God knows if my dad knew what I did in that flat. But anyway, I had a beautiful flat in Brooklyn. We had our lives. And the day I left, God said to me, I don't want you to leave anything or take anything with you that can be a trail back here. You have to leave everything. Everything. I said, everything? He said, yeah. I don't want it to have any crumbs for you to follow back, because we're never going to come back here. Then, so I left. I packed all my stuff. And I was so radical in my mind back then. I literally took all my clothes. I put all my stuff in bags. And I loved designer wear. I've always loved designer wear. At that stage, I was wearing a specific brand. And as I was wearing that, I gave all of that stuff to the security guard. I said, bless you. He loved me so much. I said, I gave him perfume. I gave him watches, whatever. And I drove home. I drove home. True story. Drove home. Here I arrive back after 4 years of awesome freedom at the age of 22 back home. Now what? Go and serve your dad. And so I come to church to serve my dad. I'm like, okay, what do I do here? And he says, I don't want you here. Go and do this. Go. And he just sends me around everywhere. And my first introduction to ministry, those first 3-4 years, nobody wanted us here. They chased us away. And then I made up my mind. In the first year of my call, I made up my mind. I said, listen, all of you that can't see I'm called, I know I'm called. Because he said to me, I'm called. And then I went, because I'm competitive by nature. Whoever you are, competitive by nature here. Yeah, I'm very competitive. So I went and I asked all the pastors, how much do you pray? How much do you read your Bible? How much signs, wonders, and miracles do you do? Because I wanted to have a level. And I found it out and I said, okay, I'll double that. And I started to spend time with God like crazy. I started to pray more and more and more and more and more. But then I had a problem. I was living with my mom and my dad back again, which I didn't want to. And I had no girl. Come on, don't be so religious. And what I actually want to say is just this. I can give you my testimony another day. But then one day I sat there at the back, right there at the back. And on top of my list was, God, I'm tired of all of the fake women. Give me a real one. Like a proper clean girl. And I was asking God for stuff that I didn't do. Are you with me? Because ons was lekker stout. So I asked God for a clean girl. And God didn't say no. And so as I was sitting there at the back one day, here in the front danced a girl in white. And I sat there and I said, what about that one? And he said, that's your wife. I was like, yeah. So I was checking this girl out. And the long story short, I'll just give it to you in like quick stories. We got married. I've got three beautiful girls. My life is blessed. But here's the point. How did it work? Little bit by little bit by little bit by little. And it's still like that. 2006, I gave my first sermon. 150 people left the building. Honest to God. My dad said to me, it's time to preach. I preached my first sermon. An elderly gentleman stood up. He said, this is nonsense. And they left. They walked out the building. How's that for a young man's heart? But I decided, little by little, I'm called. And here was my, I'll tease of this, but it's absolutely true what I'm saying. Many years later on, the people that gave me hell, I became the boss. And then God said, what are you going to do? I'm like, I want to fire them. He says, no, you can't. You're better than that. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're like, no, you really, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'll fire all of them. Little by little, we took the land. Little by little, we carried briefcases. We carried water. We loved. We honored. We gave gifts. Little by little. How will you be victorious in your life? Little by little. Mom died, dad died. Little by little, every day, just stand up, worship the Lord. That's it. God starts to increase the hands of our work. Now this church is a national church. But he did it in a season when it felt like we died. True story. Little by little, I'll go with you. Okay. But he didn't tell us the price tag. He just said, come, follow me. He said, okay. Can I be honest with you for 30 seconds? I always feel it's good to be honest as leaders, so I'll be honest with you. In my darkest moments when my dad passed, because if people tell you, if people close to you die, you must just go on. Please tell them, shut up. My dad passed and I went for a dark moment with the Lord. The Lord came to me personally one day and he asked me this question. You still going to follow me? I said, absolutely. He said, okay, little by little, just stand up every day. Just get up. I'll help you. My heart was burning, hurting. For 100 days, I mourned my dad. He was my spiritual father. Taught me everything I knew. After 100 days, the Lord appeared to me again. He pushes his finger into my heart. He says, hey, Moses is not dead. He's alive. He's with me. Now stand up. Let's finish the vision. After 100 days, Jesus Christ himself did open heart surgery on my life. I stood up. The power, I remember it. I stood up out of that bed. The electricity of the Holy Spirit was again on me. I said, now I'll give you the vision for the next 10 years. And he told me what I must do. Little by little by little. You want to drive the expensive car? Little by little. Save, be wise, tithe, honor God. Want to live in the big house? Stop buying iPhones, invest in the stock market, little by little. True story. Want to have a great marriage? Stop being so selfish. Tell your wife how beautiful she is, even if you think she's not, because she'll become the shape of your words. Yeah. Little by little, we'll whip Satan's ass. Why? We're stronger. We're not in this for fame. We're in this for glory. Oh, come on. Have I preached to somebody here tonight? Little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little. Take territory. Give the devil hell, little by little. And if you're honest with yourself, if you're honest, some days you're not going to feel like doing the call. That doesn't matter. You're better than your feelings. I wish I can teach people just not to follow their feelings. There's so many people, they follow their feelings. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Tell your heart, shh. Follow the Holy Spirit. Because if I needed to pray only the times that I felt like praying, you're not going to pray much. Are you there? You are who you choose to be. Come on, are you there? And so this is what I would love to leave with you. Struck down, not left alone. Tired, not given up. Broken, yet not yet unfinished. Alone, yet not cast to the side. You might be many things, but one thing that you are not, you are not a quitter. You cannot give up. You cannot give in. You cannot surrender. You are more than a conqueror. You are better than your opposition. You are better than your giants. You are better than your critics. You are better. And Jesus will open the door at the right time, and He will elevate you so quickly you all won't even know what touches you. If Jesus is in it, my friend, I tell you, you don't even need to be concerned about it. You just need to watch Him do it, and He's going to do it again and again and again and again. Little by little, save me, little by little. Little by little, you're going to advance. Little by little, you're going to take back your heart. Little by little, you're going to see His glory. Little by little, you're going to pray. Little by little, that first time you go and pray for somebody that gets raised from the dead, maybe it doesn't work, but go again. Go again. Go again. And go again. Little by little, give Him your heart. Little by little, start switching off Netflix and open up that Bible more. Little by little, before you open up Insta and Facebook and Netflix, open up the Word of the Lord. Little by little. I don't know where you slipped, but I know where you can gain it back again. Little by little. But Lord, I don't know how to get my passion back. No, you lie, you know. Little by little. Little by little. Just start to remove everything you're not. But it's too late. No, it's never too late. You can always change. Pastor Stefan has a testimony here that his mom was one of the most awesome moments that I've ever been next to him. And I was so proud of him that day. His mom was busy dying in the hospital. They laid an old man over across his mom that never met the Lord. The guy was in his 80s. Pastor Stefan's mom is dying. We're standing next to a bed. She's graduating to be of the Lord. Stefan goes and he saves the other man. And that guy never made it out. How's that for kingdom? That old gentleman never had the opportunity. And I still believe to this day, God sent Stefan to save him. Before it was too late. Little by little. Little by little. Oh, come on. Little by little. Little by little. You'll grow how to know Him. Little by little, you're going to walk in greater wealth, health, prosperity. Little by little. Young people, listen to me just for 2 seconds. If I can teach you just one second. Just one thing in life. Just one thing. Stop trying to fit in. Just stop it. Because the truth is, everything will change the whole time. Be unique. Be you. Just be you. Because if you're truly called, you don't need to prove nothing. You can study in silence, get the degrees, make the money, and at the right time, shine. It's true. But you don't need to brag. Little by little. Are you there? Little by little. Save me little by little. Little by little, you'll take the land. Little by little, he'll increase you. Little by little, you'll advance. Oh, come on, is this word beat for someone? Little by little, little by little, little by little. God wants you to have it little by little. Amen. Little by little. Not, let me tell you, I've been married for 16 years now. And thank you. And my eldest daughter is 15, by the way. Not 16, 15. I'll tell that with very specific detail. And so the other day, my wife looks good. She's sexy. She's got it on. She smells good. She looks good. She's beautiful. And so I saw the girl about 4 or 5 months ago that I wanted to marry before the Lord took me out. And I was thinking to myself, were you nuts? Because she saw me, and obviously she's seen me on all the different paths. She's like, hey! I'm like, yes. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Exalt the name of the Lord. Because I thought to myself, yer. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen some of your exes and you think, dear Jesus, what the hell? Love is blind. And stupid. And everything. Come on, don't be so holy. You know what I'm talking about. And I was thanking you, Jesus. I sort of wanted to fast it all day in thanks to the Lord of what He saved me from. Yer. Never make the choices for yourself. Let the Lord choose. It's honest. He is the best love maker. Amen. Little by little, take the land. Little by little, conquer your heart. Little by little, get out of that offense. Little by little, walk away from that unforgiveness. Little by little, leave the drugs. Leave the pills. Leave the porn. Little by little, win your life back. Time is, come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Little by little, just be faithful. Show up. I want to challenge you that are here. Show up and serve. Show up and come and serve. And you will see how God elevates your life in every area. God will bless your business more if you serve His kingdom. God will increase you like crazy if you serve His kingdom. He will give you more money that you know what to do with if you look for His kingdom first. He will bless you with peace that you've never found if you seek His kingdom first. If you are willing to take on the towel that the Master wears, He'll bless your life. You'll not need to worry a day. This is the problem. Can I end with one more story? This is the problem. Many of us are fighting invisible enemies that will never ever exist. At my house, I have an alarm system. So, and you know, it works on this, not just this, it works on this button and this retina thing. So, anyway, the point is, it tells me whenever there's movement anywhere, any place. And so the other night, this thing went off and it's loud. I got a fright and I jumped out. Sharon was so unspiritual, she's sleeping. So I'm out, I'm ready for whatever comes my way. And then I realized, listen, it's not the alarm. It's not the alarm system. It's one of the kids' stuff. But my mind registered it's the alarm. And so I'm ready to fight an enemy that's not there. Many of you have alarm systems going off with enemies that don't exist. And you should stop living your life with somebody else's alarm. Live your own. Oh, come on. That's good preaching right there. Come on, little by little. Little by little. Little by little, dream the dream. Little by little, take back territory. Little by little. Come on, that's the word of the Lord for you tonight. Little by little. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise again. Little by little. I want to pray for the people online. There's a couple of hundred people online. I want to pray for you. And can we get the oil ready, please? I want to pray for you, but we're first going to give to the Lord. Is that fine? Everybody inside here, everybody online, can we bless the Lord with our giving? Come on, don't go silent. Come on, let's bless the Lord. So I'm going to pray for you so you have your gifts ready. Father, I bless every gift given tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Every faithful tither, every faithful offering in this night, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I pray, Lord, in this night as we give to you, Lord, I pray, increase the harvest in Jesus' name. Please keep the lights off for me. You can just come and give here in the front. Won't you get out your seats? Just come and give. Everybody online, there's all the giving details. Won't you give to the Lord? Come on, let's jump to our feet. Let's give. Let's give.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.